Insider Football Podcast. He's James Adams. I'm Dan Claskins. We're back with you, getting you ready for 2023 fantasy football. And if you're getting ready for the season now, we invite you to go to our site, insiderfootball.com. You can check out our Fantastics Draft Advisor coming later this summer, all the tools to win, and all the podcasts we've already been ripping up. James and I have been talking best ball, dynasty, all the rookies, the draft recaps, free agency, breaking it down. And right now we're going to dive into some players on the move here in the 68th episode of the podcast. And James, we've already been back on SiriusXM. We've already been entrenched in these drafts. It feels like we're in the thick of it already, but the fun is just beginning, my friend. And happy to be back with you another year here. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be an interesting fantasy season. I think we've already figured that out.
Oh yeah, it's definitely going to be fun. Going to be interesting. We are certainly in the thick of it. I think I made four best ball picks when I clocked out from work before I got clocked back in to do a little fantasy chatter with you. So, four picks in between, my last job and this job, I'd call that in the thick of it.
Yes, and you just reminded me, I'm literally probably about to time out on my second round pick here, this KFFC. I literally have got 20 seconds on the clock here. This is pressure, James, pressure. Holy crap, I really am on the clock.
I have the two pick in that one. So what pick did you get?
I'm about to take T. Higgins, dude. I was a little bit of a frantic. I picked five. That's probably a little early on T. Higgins, but I just now realized I was on the clock. So T. Higgins, Tyreek Hill start here. We'll see. And it's not a third round reversal. That could be detrimental. But either way, the fun in real time. You just reminded me I'm on the clock. We're doing all kinds of drafts. We got our Scott Fishbowl live event here in Cincinnati coming up in a couple weeks. Our KFFC Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship in August. Looks like we're going to be heading to the Fantasy Expo again in Canton. I mean, it's all fun, dude. But right now, there's a lot of fantasy players on new teams, and that's what we're talking about here today, our new faces, new places. And James, let's start at the quarterback position. It isn't quite as exciting as it has been in some recent years with the big names on the move that we've seen, but Aaron Rodgers heading to the Jets, even at 40 and not his former self, shell of his former self, Rodgers probably still an upgrade of this offense. What's your take fantasy-wise?
I mean, I think that there's still a lot to be had. This guy, I don't know if I'm ready to say a shell of his former self. He was the MVP back-to-back seasons just a season ago. We're only one season removed from that. So for me, Aaron Rodgers, I think he's going pretty low in these best ball drafts. And the one thing that gets me to back off of him and saying, oh, the sky's the limit, we might see, 45 touchdowns, because I don't think we're going to see that. 4,500 yards, I don't think we're going to see that. That's because this Jets team looks pretty good. Depending on the health of the running game, they might not need Aaron Rodgers to be dominant, but I think when they need him to, he's going to be. I think right now in these underdog drafts that I know where these best balls were doing, he's going as QB in, as a QB2, and I mean, I take a lot of shares of that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, feeling pretty good about that. The latest ADP you mentioned there at the underdog definitely has him QB16 around pick 120 in draft since June the 1st. So on the move there. Rodgers, for me, it's more about what he does for the uptick or the players around him in the offense. And that there are a lot of weapons in New York. Who gets the ball? Who is it on a weekly basis? I mean, Garrett Wilson does seem like the lock there, but a lot of mouths to feed in an offense that you do expect, especially if Breece Hall's back healthy, them to want to run the football. And that remains to be seen. If Hall is healthy, though, and defenses have to focus on him, that only helps Rodgers. So I'm not targeting James, but I think his ADP is about right, frankly.
That's fair.
I think it is about right. A guy that, I'll end up with in some spots if he falls a little bit, but that's pretty much a QB2 just to add to the mix. A little further down the board, Derek Carr, he moves from Vegas to New Orleans, where he'll take over for the Saints. And again, fantasy-wise, maybe not that big of an exciting move. Maybe it's not even an upgrade, but for the Saints, it sure is.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly an upgrade from last year. I guess the hope for the Saints was that Winston was going to be the next guy, and the ACL injury a couple years ago really tanked that. So, I would have loved to see how that played out, but that's not going to happen, so we're beyond that. Derek Carr, for me, I'm interested to see what happens with him in the Saints. But I don't know that, like, he's not a new face that is finding himself on any of my best ball rosters to this point, because I'm just not so sure. I don't know what to make of that division, first of all. Somebody's got to win it. Is there going to be a lot of points in that division? Is there going to be a lot of sloppy, low-scoring games in that division? I think the latter is real possible.
The Saints got a good line, and they certainly have a plethora of weapons, especially if they get anything out of Michael Thomas. Olave, I think, is going to step forward here. So I think Carr's a top 20 quarterback, and that's about where he's being drafted, at QB 19, 144 overall. You go down to deeper range on the board, guys outside the top 30 currently in their underdog ADP since June the 1st. Jimmy Garoppolo, the guy replacing Carr in Vegas, he takes over for the Raiders, assuming he's healthy, which right now is an assumption. There are some questions about him recovering from that ankle issue. You got Baker Mayfield, appears to have the leg up on the starting job versus Kyle Trask there in Tampa Bay. Mayfield, QB 32, pick 214 overall. And then a couple other retreads. Jacoby Brissett on the radar in Washington, where the Commanders are still looking for a quarterback, but probably behind Sam Howe. And then you got Gardner Minshew, the veteran with the Colts, who many expect will back up Anthony Richardson, the raw rookie, for most of the season. They're QB 34, QB 38. Not a lot there unless you're in really deep super flex leagues. But the Garoppolo versus Mayfield mix, which a better late round dart in your opinion?
Garoppolo, if healthy. I mean, look, I might like Mayfield's weapons better, but Garoppolo should be in a system that makes him comfortable going all the way back to, you know, his Patriot days. But it's Garoppolo for sure for me, but there's neither one of these guys has upsides. And I'll be honest, if we get to the point in the draft where I'm looking at either one of these two, I just go, I hope my quarterback room's good enough. Now, in a super flex where we're going to be drafting deeper and setting lineups, they're on my radar, but just barely, because I'm just not so sure I see a ton of upside, even with the likes of an Evans and Godwin tag team for Baker Mayfield. Can he take advantage of that? I mean, he hasn't really done anything to make me say yes. A slight stint in LA last year, but that's it.
Moving along to the running back position, a little bit more fantasy interest perhaps here for us. And we'll start with the guy that last year, James, was a player that just fell down draft boards like crazy. Miles Sanders, round 7 pick and round 8 pick and final ADPs, depending on the formats you're looking at. And he turned in a good season in Philadelphia, turned that into a payday here. He's part of a remade offense in Carolina that has new faces at every skill position. Right now, Sanders, RB 19, 62.4 overall in these drafts since June 1st over an underdog in these best ball mania formats. And, James, I mean, I guess it's not as much about Sanders. It's just the questions I still have about this Carolina offense, making it really difficult for me to assess where I think Sanders should go. But this is a little tick higher than we were seeing him a few months ago. He's a player on the rise in ADP these last couple months, and the further up the board he gets, the less likely I'm going to be able to think about taking him.
I find myself taking him a lot where he was going, so I probably find it even easier to back off with the increasing price tag. But I think Carolina, I mean, give me a reason why Carolina can't be the division champion
we've already hit on it with the talks of Carr and Baker Mayfield and these other guys, right? I mean, this division sucks.
Yeah, their defense flashed at times last year, which would be seemingly a good sign for a strong running game if the defense can keep them in all these games. I think Young's got a chance to be a very good quarterback. He's got everything but the size. I'm not saying he hits the ground running like it's Alabama still, but I'm pretty optimistic.
For me, though, I'm looking at back-end RB2s. I guess they're players I think I like a bit more. And the Panthers do have a decent offensive line, and we saw some success in that ground game last year down the stretch. They averaged 9 more rushing yards than the Eagles in their final 11 games, and that's a pretty tough stat to swallow when you think about it. But I do think he'll get a larger share of the goal line carries on this team, right? Mm-hmm. That's what hurt him last year. He lost some action in the goal line. If it wasn't Jalen Hurts ganking it, it was Kenny Gainwell or the Giants killer Boston Scott coming in. Chuba Hubbard's still in there. I think he'll be involved. So we'll see. But I'm with you. Sanders is a guy that is definitely drawing some buzz. Moving down the board, we got DeAndre Swift with the Eagles. He's RB23. Next up, pick 76 overall. You got Rashad Penny, another new face joining that Philly backfield in Sanders' absence, coming off a major injury here, James. And So we have to take that into consideration. But RB 37, pick 115. So you got an RB 2 and an RB 3 on fantasy drafts right now. And for me, I think they're both slotted in at about the right spot. I know Swift has a lot of potential. A lot of people got burned on him. But I mean, dude, you're getting to pick 76. I mean, we're almost talking into round. I mean, we're talking early round 7 now. So is it, I mean, to me, Swift's the type of guy I like in that round with a potential, you know, jump up to what we thought he might have been.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it wasn't that long ago. He was going like at the swing pick, 12, 13. Maybe that was 2 years ago. I don't know. Maybe it was last year.
And I do like Penny, but durability. I mean, there's a lot of guys we ding for durability through the running back ranks, and Penny has to be near top of the list for me. Mm-hmm.
I've never been on Penny since his rookie year, and I'm actually on him this year because the price is so nice that it's okay if it doesn't pan out.
I like him as my RB3 in the mid rounds, but I'm not going to go beyond that.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Where if it doesn't hit, you don't really lose a lot.
Yep. But if you're waiting for running backs and you're suddenly getting him in round seven or eight or whatever, and he's your RB2, that's a little more dicey, I think. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's get down the list. A few more names on the move. Our former Bengal guy we got to follow and root for quite a bit here in Cincinnati, Samaje Perine, he lands in Denver. We know Javonte Williams is going to be coming along slowly, even though he's making progress. Still going to take a while to get there. And Perine, a guy right around that Penny range, actually a tick ahead of him, RB34, pick 107.02. I don't think you're really getting a discount on Perine, but he is a guy that is going to be involved in that Denver backfield.
Yeah, I have interest in him. You know, I'm kind of taking him when he makes sense, but I'm not reaching for him. Look, maybe Williams has that miraculous recovery and he's back to being the guy we were hoping for last year, but I kind of doubt it. And we've seen that Perine, in a good offense, made his mark with the Cincinnati Bengals, going back to being on the field at the end of the game in the Super Bowl. So he certainly has gained trust from coaches, and I don't think that changes. I know he can pass block, so I would imagine that Perine will have a role in the Broncos offense as long as it's just he and Williams and they don't go out and add one of these free agents. I think Perine's not a huge upside guy, but a very solid pick that you're not worried about ruining your lineup on a weekly basis.
One of the guys I like up the board a little bit, David Montgomery, going into Detroit. Yeah, they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs, and he is an electric player, but Montgomery, a guy I think is going to get a lot of the Jamal Williams type of carries, the move the ball, grind it out. His ADP, RB27, pick 86.5. Here's a guy that could easily push to be a top 20 running back this year if things break right. And I think he's coming at a decent value still here, James.
He'll have the best career statistically of season of his career this year. I mean, just book it. When we do bold predictions, it'll be bold because it won't be real bold. It'll just be my kind of bold prediction. But yeah, I mean, dude, 10 touchdowns. That's 7 fewer than Jamal Williams had last year behind that offensive line. I think you can just book him for 10 touchdowns this year. This should be David's best season of his career so far.
Yeah, at least from a fantasy standpoint, we do anticipate him taking over that goal line role we've seen be so valuable in Detroit, as you talk about. Another running back from the division, or at least was in the division, we should note here, Dalvin Cook, at the time of the podcast, remains a free agent after being cut loose post-June 1st by the Vikings. So Cook currently, James, at last check, still RB24, though, and drafts since June 1st over at Best Ball, 80.1 overall. So he's fallen pretty much into back end RB2, early RB3 range. We don't know where he's going to go. Wherever he goes, it's not going to be the huge workload like we've seen the past couple years, I would imagine, barring an injury situation. So it's a really risky pick for me right now. I think I have enough Cook exposure on some other earlier rosters that I'm probably going to play. Let's just avoid him. But depends if he falls far enough, I guess you'll grab him. But I don't think until I know where he's at, I could properly assess what I think his season might look like.
I'll take him over DeAndre Swift all day, every day in that spot. Miles Sanders probably going to take Miles Sanders ahead of Cook. But when we find a landing spot, it might catapult him way up there. I think the upside is worth.
Would you take Cook ahead of Montgomery right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, dude, the upside, I mean, let's look at what he's done the last couple of years. I know he has a little bit of a durability tag, and it's rightly so. But at that price point, this is a guy who offers RB1, overall RB1 upside. He just does. Maybe that's in the past at 27 years old. But last year was a good year for him, and I know it was a money thing. But he's going to land on a team, And I mean, unless he lands on a team that already has an established running back, one of these top 10 picks, which I don't think he will, I think he's going to be a top 15 running back come August 15th, August 30th on draft days.
Let's move down the board a little bit. Some more new face running backs, new guys in new uniforms, I should say. Damian Harris, he goes from New England, stays in the AFC East. He's with Buffalo, RB 38 pick, 115.5 overall. We've got Jamal Williams. We talked about him with Detroit. Now he's in New Orleans. We know they have a new quarterback, Alvin Kamara. They drafted Kendre Miller as well. So a lot of mouths in that backfield. But RB 42, 126.3 overall. Those two guys right there are the next in the range in new uniforms. James, I know that I like Harris probably a little more than you, but not as like a guy, anything more than what he is right here, right? I think you know, anytime I get my RB3, RB4 to be a guy that could get some goal line looks in one of the elite offenses, I mean, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, look, there's going to be a chance for him to get two touchdowns on more than one occasion. It's best ball. You don't have to pick the weeks. And he is probably going to be that goal line back when they indeed deploy a goal line back. We've just seen that kind of be an issue in Buffalo, right? Whether it's Josh Allen or the tight end they just acquired or the one they used to have.
Singletary just didn't convert a lot of carries. It wasn't like he didn't have touches in a lot of those instances. Zach Moss wasn't much better. I think you're right. Josh Allen has taken some of those looks away, but the running backs have had attempts. They just haven't converted. Harris has shown, when healthy, the ability to punch it in here. What I really love about him leaving New England is how much it makes Ramondre Stevenson look better in fantasy, but that's a whole nother topic. Jamal Williams, your thoughts on him as a Saint?
I'm not sure what's going on there between Miller being added to the mix. Like Jamal Williams, his peak last year was peak Jamal Williams season. It's not like he scored 10 touchdowns any other season. So let's keep in mind, he can catch the ball a little bit. He's not strictly a runner. He did catch the ball a little bit in other seasons. But for me, I'm passing at that point. I'm looking for upside. I think he cost the price of him still on that behind that offensive line for Detroit.
There's no doubt about it. I am expecting Kamara to get suspended at some point this season. I think you almost have to, given the information we have right now. We don't know, though. It is still a mystery. Some have speculated 6 games. It's maybe 2 games, but whatever it is, I think it happens at the beginning of the season, and that could mean Williams gets out of the gate fast. I definitely think he'll be a more trusted option in some passing situations. I think that's sort of what's really lost with him with all this goal line success. Here's a guy who's throughout his career, even in his Green Bay days, has proven to be a decent pass blocker and capable of catching that ball out of the backfield. So I like him as a fantasy asset. I think his value is going to fluctuate throughout the season. In terms of other guys on the list, quickly at running back, I'll throw out a few names, a couple more names that are in some new places, and just your thoughts quickly on RB49 off the board right now, a guy that we talked about no longer in Buffalo because he is with the Texans, Devin Singletary, pick 154.7. Then we got Dante Foreman, going to the Bears. He is RB 52, pick 167.9 in underdog ADP since June the 1st.
Both guys I'm interested in where the price is right. Singletary, look, Houston went out and got him. And, you know, I mean, obviously Pierce was very successful last year, but he had all the volume. Singletary, I think, at RB is an RB4 on your best ball team is great. Dante Foreman, look, this guy has had a couple of good years running in a row after it was a few. Several years back, he tore the Achilles and he had all that hype and then it kind of went away. I think he's fully healthy. He was a good back in fantasy circles the last 2 seasons. And I have the expectation of him being the RB1 in Chicago when the dust settles as far as fantasy points go.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a lot of confusion in fantasy universe. Like who will carry the ball there in Chicago? And right now it's looking like it's basically being drafted with people thinking all different things. So if he does show clarity that he's going to be the bulk of the carries in that backfield, there's no doubt we'll see his ADP rise later in the summer. 3 running backs not on a team right now, but could be before we get to the start of the season. Ezekiel Elliott, he's RB 53 right now in draft since June 1st. Leonard Fournette and Kareem Hunt a little further down the board, RB 61, RB 62. I think of the three, obviously the ADP suggested, Elliott's the guy I'm most interested in. I think he has the ability to still be a decent guy in the short yardage situations. as well, again, with his pass blocking, a guy that could be valued in third down. Hunt, to me, lost a step last year, and it was evident. And not to say Elliott hasn't. He and all these guys have treads on the tires, but I'm not so sure that Hunt, I mean, last year he really struggled in short yardage situations. I don't know. Landing spot will mean everything for these guys. Honestly, I don't want a lot to do with any of them if I can avoid it.
We had this conversation a few days ago where I was kind of all over the board, and you kind of steered me towards Zeke Elliott, and, you know, not to just be a parrot to what you said, but I have trouble kind of disagreeing with you right now. Leonard Fournette could become a really good goal line asset for another team. We're only like 18 months away from playoff Lenny, right? That's actually not true. We're 2.5 years away now. I'm forgetting the Rams Bengals
Super Bowl. I know what you're saying.
But I mean, we're not that far away, but maybe we are in a running back lifespan. So right now, as far as best ball goes, like I'm really not getting, I'd rather be picking at a different position at this point.
Here's the thing about best ball drafts, right? You can't dump the guys if they don't sign anywhere. I mean, these guys, one thing I learned last year about best ball is like, oh, the Odell Beckham picks and all these injured players, let's stash them till later. Or this guy's suspended or wait and hope. Is a lot of times you're losing weeks there and losing roster spots. And heck, right now there's enough buys to deal with and injuries. So to just take those other chances and just miss out on it, it's just not worth it. And more often than not, when you go back and look at it after the fact.
Did you have Will Fuller on any best ball teams about Will this Fuller? Time last
there
year?
You go. There was another late round dart. And I'm not saying that these guys aren't going to end up on teams, but James, there's a reason they're not on any already.
That's correct.
I mean, it's mid-June.
They're not plan A for whatever team they end up on. They're not plan A right now. You're absolutely right about that.
Barring an injury. And I correct. Think that's really what they're sort of waiting for to see, you know, can I drive my value up by a team being so desperate that they have to figure it out. But
yeah, and miss a little OTAs.
This is Dan Klaskins and James Adams, Fantastics Insider Football Podcast. If you want to keep up with us, this is where we talk football all off season long. It's free. You can subscribe wherever you listen. Get it over at insiderfootball.com. You can also catch us Saturdays and Sundays all summer long as we get you ready for 2023 fantasy football with the Fantastics Insider Football Show over on SiriusXM Fantasy Channel 87 and the SXM app there. And James, we're talking new faces, new places. We've knocked out quarterbacks and running backs. Let's turn it over to the receivers and tight ends to wrap it up. And we look at wideouts. The top guy off the board right now, Calvin Ridley. Talk about a guy whose stock's rising. The Jaguar receiver who sat out last year because of his gambling suspension. Wide receiver 16, pick 31.6 overall. I am just struggling still to like grasp this as reality. I like Calvin Ridley. I really am optimistic about this Jacksonville passing game and the forward step they can take as a team this year. But, dude, this is a steep price for a guy that, I mean, I will not have any shares at that rate.
I have him in two dynasty leagues, so it makes it easier for me to kind of just take the next player. And Deebo Samuel's been going off the board in a similar spot. I know he's not a new face, new place, but he's a player I'm just taking instead. But here's the reality. 2 years ago, Calvin Ridley was clearly a top five wide receiver in dynasty formats. We're only 2 years away from that. I know a lot of things have changed, including where he plays, including the suspension and missing a season. But he does have the next big thing at quarterback throwing him the football. We saw what Zay Jones and Evan Ingram and Christian Kirk all did last year. Career years, frankly, for all of them, maybe outside of Ingram in his rookie year. So we saw how Lawrence elevated them, and now we're talking about a first-round receiver talent in Calvin Ridley. What? You know, I can believe all the hype, but I'm not really paying the price. So I say I can believe it, but when it comes time to put my money where my mouth is, I'm taking other players, so
I mean,
I guess I'm with you, sort of. Yeah,
I mean, the thing is, it's not like I don't like the guy. I mean, I do. I'm still struggling where I ran. I mean, he's definitely in my wide receiver 20. He's not my, you know, not up here at wide receiver 16.
Yeah, I'm just with you. And if you think back to the first show we did after the regular season ended last year, we both agreed we probably have Christian Kirk ahead of Calvin Ridley. Now, maybe I don't anymore, but if both of our mindsets were there, I think we're both finding ourselves in the same boat where it's like, yeesh, maybe he's great, but look how great Lawrence was without him last year.
Here's the thing. I mean, you have a lot of mouths to feed there. Zay Jones.
Yeah.
Let's not forget about Evan Ingram. I mean, and a team, they drafted Tank Bigsby. They're hoping to get him more involved. Etienne's obviously still going to have his fair share of touches. So, I don't know. There's a lot of mouths to feed here. And if Jacksonville is so elite compared to the rest of the teams in the division, how much passing are they going to have to be doing late in games?
They shouldn't be doing a whole lot. And to be honest with you, I'm in that thought process because their defense has been one, obviously no underdog defenses, but in MFL or BB10s, there's defenses in there. And Jacksonville was one I was targeting for that reason, which would then coincide with the thought process of fewer passing big yard games, particularly in division. So I'm with you.
Yeah. And I'm not sitting here saying I'm going to go out and target Zay Jones. I mean, the dude dropped a league high 13 passes last year and is the fourth best guy on the team, fourth best target on this team. But
and he had like 32 PPR points down the stretch.
It's just enough to eat into these guys' values. So anyway, moving down the list, DeAndre Hopkins, another one of these players that are currently without a team as we record the podcast here, but he's still being drafted. Wide receiver 21, pick 39-7. Hopkins released by Arizona. He's going to play somewhere, James. There's no doubt about that. I know we talked about that with the big name free agent veteran running back earlier here, but I mean, Hopkins, it's just a matter of what type of contract he's willing to accept right now. So he had visits to New England. He had visit to Tennessee. He left without contracts. I think he's holding out hope to get on a contender, but eventually he's going to want to get paid. He is 31. He's lost some speed. He did play at a pretty high level last year, though. 7.1 yard catch per average, an 80-yard average in his last nine games, three TDs. A lot of that was with third and fourth string quarterbacks. And regardless, Hopkins, age is a factor, but he never used his speed as the big difference maker. For him, it's always been about being one of the best in the league at coming up with the balls contested downfield. He still has that ability. Man, this is a guy that you talk about Dalvin Cook being a back-end RB2 that has a huge upside. I think you get him right now in the underdog ADP at wide receiver 21. What happens if he does end up on the Chiefs?
Gosh, I don't see him ending up there. But you're right. What happens? My argument to that, which is why I would deflate his value and why I'm not too high on him, even though I love him, is A, he's 31. But what happens if he ends up on the Titans?
I get you. It's a roll of the dice. But whatever happens, like wide receiver 21, he's not going to fall more than a few spots no matter where he ends up. He can only go up if he goes to a team with an elite quarterback.
Yeah, I think we're going to be different on Hop this year until he finds a team anyway.
Anyway, I mean, again, dude, I'm not like trying to like cover all my teams with the guy. I'm just saying.
It's okay. I love Hopkins.
I think he's got a little left. Let's talk about the next guys down. DJ Moore, wide receiver 26, 47 overall. He finds a new home in Chicago with the Bears. We got Brandon Cooks, wide receiver 43, a little further down the board, 83.5 overall to the Cowboys. And Elijah Moore, right in that same range, wide receiver 45. He is pick 87.8 overall. He goes from the Jets to the Browns. Clearly Moore, the best and highest rated guy on this list. James, I mean, Justin Fields, I do expect to take a step forward this year. It depends on how big of a step, though, to really get behind Moore's value. I do see him as a wide receiver, too, not a wide receiver, three. So I guess I'm ahead of the market a little bit on him. But what's your thoughts?
I have zero shares. I have zero interest. The Bears offense just, I mean, we can say that they're going to take a step forward and they're going to throw the football more and this, that, and the other. Let me see it first. I'm just not buying in. So I don't have much. I don't really have.
All right. So I'm a little more bullish on the Bears as a whole, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, I like the Lions to win that division. I know the Bears.
I'm not saying to win the division. Let me be clear. I'm not saying anybody win the division.
I'm talking about
just being fantasy productive. I do think Fields takes a step forward. I don't think it's massive to the point where it's like a Jalen Hurts type of step forward this year, but I don't know. I mean, DJ Moore, is he more valuable in Chicago than he would have been if he'd have stayed in Carolina?
No.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have Bryce Young because they wouldn't have the first pick.
Well, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. So I can't answer that one.
All right. I know you like Brandon Cooks at his price because we talked about this too. And of all the new faces and new places at receiver, based off ADP, Cooks is the one that excites me the most. He's being drafted outside of the top 40 at the position. And dude, I mean, you have to like what you see in Dallas. Michael Gallup's getting a little more healthy. I know they lost Dalton Schultz. I expect some three receiver sets, and Cooks is the guy stretching the field. With all the attention on CD Lamb, you would expect him to be able to get a lot of single coverage, James.
We know he can play for a different team year in, year out, and make an impact. So new face and a new place, that's his MO, and it's worked for him throughout his career. First round talent, he's still got something. I agree. I'm actually, Michael Gallup's a player I've been taking, putting my eyes on in these best ball drafts too, but add Cooks to the mix. They lose, they lose Schultz. Yeah, they went out and drafted Schoonmaker, who I really like, but I'm not so sure that I like him to be a big impact player for the course of this season. So even though you wouldn't think tight end targets go to Cooks, I mean, maybe Gallup's getting those, but Cooks is still going to get his looks. And what do we know about him? He can make a big play happen in a hurry. That screams best ball. Wide receiver 4. I love it. So, yeah, I'm all in here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Cooks, I mean, 4 other teams he's played on. He's had 1,000-yard seasons with all of them. They're not going to rely on him as number one. That's what I love about this. He's much more a complimentary deep threat. And in his last season with a decent quarterback, you go back to the year he had Deshaun Watson, this was a guy, 81 passes, 1,150 yards, 6 touchdowns. I'm not saying he's going to put up quite those numbers, but dude, he could approach 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns very realistically if he stays healthy this year.
800 yards and 6 touchdowns seems like a lock for him if he plays 15 games. That'll be sprinkled into enough best ball lineups that as your wide receiver 4, you're very happy with it. And Elijah, I think he could get better.
Elijah Moore is in Cleveland. We like, obviously him going into last season. It was just a train wreck in New York. It's a fresh start for him, James. And regardless of what you think about Deshaun Watson and the rest of this offense, I mean, a fresh start's going to do this guy good.
Yeah, he obviously, it wasn't going to happen. And boy, I was really excited about his future for about a half a minute in New York before everybody else came in and he went away. I'm just not buying into that offense, but I have him in our dream league, and I'm most assuredly looking forward to him getting a new look, because it just wasn't happening for the Jets. And I mean, look, they turned around and went and got Garrett Wilson right after they picked Moore. I mean, seemingly they were just like, this isn't our guy. Immediately they realized it.
Juju Smith-Schuster, he's a Patriot. He's wide receiver 50 off the board. Any interest in the veteran?
Yeah, I'm not sure that there's a ton of upside. This isn't like he's running alongside Antonio Brown back in the day, but yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he becomes their number one, and he can stay healthy and stay on the field. I don't know if 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns is coming, but doesn't seem like that big of a stretch given what else they have at receiver.
Jacoby Myers is a veteran on the move. That it's not a sexy name, but it is one that I think fantasy owners should have on their radar. The Raiders clearly very interested. They signed him to a contract, $21 million in guaranteed money. And obviously Devontae Adams is the alpha here. There's questions at quarterback. So you're not paying much of anything right now for Myers. Wide receiver 55 for crying out loud. Wide 119 off the board, but the problem with Myers is he's nice in PPR. He's got the nice floor each week, but you're talking about a guy who's only scored 2 touchdowns on 168 career catches.
Maybe he finally has that regression. I don't think it's coming.
His numbers under Josh McDaniels in New England. So I don't know. In PPR, I think he's a nice bench piece, and certainly in best balls in the mid to late rounds as you're adding receiver depth, I think it's a nice floor play. And I like in best ball, James, matching those floor plays with like the home run hitter types of Cooks. That way you get a nice balance. So it does fit my style of drafting, especially at that draft spot with that draft capital. The Panthers, we talked about a lot of their new faces. Let's talk about a couple new receivers here. Next up on the list, Adam Thielen. He's wide receiver 64 off the board. DJ Shark, wide receiver 68. Which one of the two would you rather draft?
I mean, Shark probably is the one with the higher ceiling, the more upside. But I found myself going after Thielen. First of all, if you want to have like a real late correlation play, Bryce Young's available late, Adam Thielen's available late. If you feel like your team needed a stack and you didn't quite get one, there's, if you're going QB3, there it is. Thielen's shown an ability to get open in tight windows to move the chains. And I would expect that he will certainly kind of find that role. But maybe Hayden Hurst ends up filling that role. I know we'll talk about him in a minute. They might compete for the same kind of touches, even though they're not the same quote-unquote position.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's spot on. Last 5 new receivers in new uniforms I want to talk about. I'm just going to throw them out quick. And then we'll give your favorite from the bunch. We got Mecole Hardman, wide receiver 84. He's with the Jets now. Pick 200 overall in drafts since June 1st on that underdog ADP. Not too far behind him, just a couple picks. Robert Woods, wide receiver 86. He's a Texan now. You got Marvin Jones and his return to Detroit at wide receiver 89. Richie James, breakout year with the Giants, ends up now with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. He's wide receiver 94, pick 211. And Allen Robinson, still on the fantasy radar here. He finds a home with the Steelers, wide receiver 98, and they're talking him up here after OTAs as could be a red zone threat.
Hardman is the one that probably interests me the most because he's young. He's, you know, he hasn't passed his prime. I don't know if he'll ever hit his prime, though. That's the unfortunate part. He has the best quarterback throwing him the football. That's nice. Marvin Jones, you're talking best ball. He always intrigues me, but how many starts are you going to get out of him? You might get two really good ones, but you might only get two out of them.
That's I do problem. Like him a little bit earlier in the year with Jameson Williams, obviously facing the suspension. So, and a familiarity with the team, maybe not every part of it. It's a lot of new faces, but I'm with you. I'm not touching the others. Let's move on to tight end. We'll wrap up the episode there, and we'll start with the guy highest off the draft board at the position in a new uniform, and that's 31-year-old Darren Waller, who finds a new home in New York with the Giants.
Just not interested for a lot of reasons. I mean, first and foremost, he has trouble staying on the field. Secondly, Daniel Jones had his breakout season last year, and I think the number of touchdowns was like 19. I mean, this just isn't an offense that's going to be throwing the ball a ton. Daniel Jones ran the ball like 800 yards last year. Daniel Jones' breakout season was about him being an athlete, not being a great pocket passer. So for me, I'll wait. There's guys going after him like Njoku. And I know I said I'm not big on the Browns, but Njoku and Ingram, I think, are both going after Waller. I'll take both of those over Waller. So at this point, I have zero Waller shares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm not that excited about him. I mean, has Brian Daboll ever had a tight end do anything? I mean, clearly they're going to do a lot more here. But I mean, you're talking about a guy 3-year extension worth 51 million. So, I mean, they're paying him a ton. They only had to give up a third round pick to get him, but it's about injuries, James. He's 31 in September. He's missed 6 and 8 games the last 2 years with 3 different injuries.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. That's not the type of things I'd like to draft for, especially paying in a top 100 pick at a tight end.
No, because you draft that guy at tight end, your base, like if we're in a best ball and we're drafting a tight end 7 off the board, how many tight ends do you want to have on your roster? Well, you better have 3, 2 others besides him. That's not, I mean, if I'm going to do that, then why don't I just wait and get Tyler Higbee and Tyler Conklin and I don't know, somebody else and Irv Smith. Like, if you're going to make me get 3 tight ends, then I'm going to wait and not use draft capital on them. If you draft Darren Waller, I mean, are you going to make sure you get Daniel Bellinger and handcuff him? Like, I'm not buying in at all.
Moving down the board, Dalton Schultz drawing a lot of interest, tight end 13, 137 overall in underdog ADP since June the 1st. And he stays in Texas, going from the Cowboys to the Texans. I do like him in Houston as that fringe tight end 1. Again, this is a guy that I think benefited from the system on this new team. He's definitely losing some of his pieces. He's going to have to develop that rapport with CJ Stroud to deliver on his current ADP or anything above it. And that's going to be key. But you're talking about the difference in teams here is immense. I mean, Schultz is a guy that without Dak Prescott, and without playing in this Cowboys offense, is just going to blend in with a lot of other names, in my opinion, James.
Terrified of him leaving Dallas, leaving the system, leaving CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, making it life on him easier. Excited about the fact that he might be the best pass catcher in Houston, though. So I'm not rushing to the line to pick Dalton Schultz, but I found him on a few of my teams. If he starts to slide a little bit, and we'll see that with some tight ends, like all of a sudden, you know, 3 or 4 after what his ADP is are off the board. And I go, all right, now I'm willing to invest here. So I'm taking my shots at him. Not a ton, but I mean, dude, look what they've got at receiver. Dell, Collins, Mechie. I mean, none of them are proven.
Irv Smith Jr., he's the latest Bengal coming in here after Hayden Hurst left after 1 season, looking to turn his time into Joe Burrow with a payday. And I mean, The problem with Irv Smith has never been the talent, James. It's about staying on the field. He's only played in 21 of his last 50 games, so he'll have to shake the injury bug to end up not disappointing owners, even in this exciting offense.
Why draft Darren Waller when you can draft Irv Smith? I'm just making an injury correlation. Irv Smith's a lot cheaper. I'm interested in Irv Smith because he's your backup tight end. I think, as I've told you, I've been able to get Kelce on a few best ball teams to start, probably more than the like typical number. And so I've kind of been mixing it up between getting Mahomes or trying to do a Kelce with the Bengals stack. And when you do that, if you have T. Higgins and then you get Joe Burrow, at the end of that Bengals stack, you can add Irv Smith, a different bye week than Kelce. I know that's getting real specific when you're talking about drafting this guy, but he fits that mold right there, and he gets Burrow to stack with. I think he's a good backup tight end if you have Burrow. I'm not seeking him out all the time, though, because what we saw in this offense a year ago with Hayden Hurst, 2 years ago with Uzama, there could be a few games where it's big. There could be a ton of games where it's absolutely irrelevant, though.
Yeah, and let's talk about Hurst. He goes from catching passes from one number overall pick in Burrow to another number one overall pick in Young, and that is pretty interesting itself. Of the last 20 first-round quarterbacks who have started more than half of their first season, seven had a tight end who finished with top 10 numbers. This according to Fantasy Index, James. So put that into perspective. Of the last 20 first-round quarterbacks who've started more than half their games, which we expect Young to do, seven have had a tight end fit. So we're looking at approximately 35% of these guys have produced a top 10 tight end. And I guess the correlation trying to make here is they're going to lean on that tight end.
Oh, yeah.
And we know that Young's arm isn't that strength to begin with here. So we talked about it with Adam Thielen. You mentioned it then. Hurst is there. Would you rather have Hurst over the guy in Cincinnati that's replacing him, Smith?
No, I would if quarterback independent, yes, because Hurst has played a few more games. He's also gotten hurt too. Quarterback independent, maybe yes, because Hurst has shown a little bit more in the NFL. But with the quarterback in mind, no, I'll take Irv Smith. I'll take the player with the better quarterback.
Yeah, that's what fantasy managers are doing. Yeah. Hurst is tight end 25. I mean, I definitely, he is what he is. It's a death play. I think he's taken a little bit of a dip down this year. I actually like Mike Gesicki in that range, the New England Patriot. Former Miami Dolphin. I really like this fit here. Miami, it wasn't a fit with McDaniel coming in. And here's a guy that, is more of a catcher than a blocker. He's only 27, though. And the Patriots, they have plenty of formations where they can get him and Hunter Henry involved in contributing. So I really like it here. John New Smith has been shipped out. This is a better fit for Belichick and the boys. Austin Hooper and Robert Tonyan, a couple other guys. Tight end 39 and 41. Not being drafted in most cases here, James, but a couple veterans to keep your eyes on.
Yeah, I guess keep your eyes on it. I mean, we saw Komet have some success on a real hot run for the Bears. So if he were to go down or for some reason they run a couple of tight end, double tight end sets. I mean, we saw Tonyan be a tight end or a red zone target for Rodgers in the past. It could be there, but these are guys, as you said, just keep your eyes on them, not keep them on your roster just yet.
All right. So there you have it. We've run through most of the names you need to know about that are in new uniforms, at least from the veteran perspective. You want to subscribe to the podcast, keep up to it. It's the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast. You can get it on Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you listen, anytime at InsiderFootball.com. For James Adams, I'm Dan Klaskins. We'll catch you next time right here on the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast.